Welcome to the Kenkel Fritz and Friends podcast. If you want to hear the show, you can find it on Family Life Radio. If you want to find a station near you, you can go to myflr.org or stream it online.
Hey, it's Sally. Thanks for joining us. And here's a little bit from the show today.
It's Kenkel Fritz and Friends. Sally's here. Misty's here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you have your shoes on right now?
I do.
What?
Oh, okay. Well, then you are not grounding, apparently.
What are you talking about?
There is this new thing going around social media. It's called grounding, and people believe that if they walk around everywhere without shoes or as often as they can, they're actually strengthening themselves, and like it's upping their immune system. And there is a couple that has taken this so far. They had a huge shoe collection, like very expensive shoes. They cut the soles out of all of them so they can walk into businesses that require shoes and not be noticed for technically walking around barefoot because their soles or their heels, the bottom of their feet are completely exposed to the floor.
Oh,
so it appears that they're wearing shoes.
Yep.
I guess they sort of are.
They're being tricky.
But the sole of your foot is... So is it the idea that through the ground, there's something that's good for you? Like dirt and everything?
Or? I guess... I had a friend who did this with her small children. Because I remember, yeah, people would say stuff on social media because she would film them like running around outside of restaurants and stuff without their shoes. And she was like, no, it's great for their immune system. And all I could think of is like, I see how much glass and
yes,
stuff is on.
Sharp things.
Yeah. So I know this is not a new premise. I think health professionals are like, maybe not definitive. Like, we don't really know that this helps.
Right. Supposed to be like good for your feet to the bones in your feet. But you know what? My feet are never going to know.
Well, how about the right. How about the hygiene of whatever dirt or toxins of.
No.
I don't.
No.
I mean, Sally is emphatic. No.
Oh, I'm with Sally. Okay, I'm telling you, if I ever were to try grounding, my first visit to a gas station restroom would end that. Right?
Restroom.
No.
I don't... okay, if you're listening right now, is there any... Do you think there's any truth to this? And then secondly, yay or nay?
Right. We need vote.
I am on
Explain
the nay...
Explain yourself.
Nay team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same...
I just don't. I don't know.
I know.
I'll just take vitamin C and a multivitamin pill. And
there you go.
We'll call
We're a no, no, no.
But it looks like you're wearing shoes, but the bottom. Is,
unbelievable.
I don't understand this at all. We hope you have your shoes on. Now, what is it called now again?
Grounding.
Where you don't wear your shoes, I guess it's good for your immune system to get things coming in through the bottom of your feet.
Whatever.
I don't know.
No.
Not sure I'm into that.
Count me out.
Yeah, exactly. Mary is calling us from Central Michigan. What do you think?
First of all, I hope that couple that took the soles out of their shoes, I hope they enjoy all their fungal infections. Seriously, no. I mean, we're a society for a reason. We're already on the downward hill. Please let us keep our shoes. That's all.
You know, it's a good point. You think of all the advancements in our modern day and age, and we're going to go backwards.
I remember as a kid, that was a recipe for, was it a ringworm?
Oh.
Like kids would get ringworm walking around barefoot.
Oh.
Bring up more hideous memories.
Forget it. No. Absolutely not. But you know what? I mean, when you let your kids run around on your property, it's your property. You know what dogs have been on there. You know where everybody has been, you know.
Oh,
so,
there's that.
Thank you. Let me say this. My husband is a farmer, and he goes barefoot everywhere, but he's usually going between properties. And I'm like, okay, Tarzan. All right. You gotta put something on. I can't do this. I can't let you walk around like nobody loves you.
Helping you experience hope. Family Life Radio.
Grounding. Something new it's not new, but it's where you don't wear shoes because apparently the ground is good for your, you know, the soil and it's good for your immune system. Mindy called in from Illinois, said she does that, and it works for her. A lot of us on the show are like, what about the sharp pokey things? What about right. whatever toxins might come in through the, I'm not sure. Rhett is with us from the Phoenix, Arizona area. What do you think?
So I'm calling to actually kind of give you a little bit of some of the science behind it, but also a better way to do it without having to take your shoes off.
Okay. Tell us about this.
Let's just face it. Some feet are just terrible even once you pull them out of shoes.
Right.
So I'm with you guys on that. So for Christmas, I got grounding sheets for my bed.
Grounding sheets? Tell us about this.
Yes. I had seen some things about grounding and being skeptical myself. I'm like, some of the science behind it is that it increases the circulation. God has given us connection to his creation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a low voltage electrician, so I kind of understand a little bit of what they're talking about.
That's a different kind of grounding.
You have a neurological system that is electrical.
Right.
When you're grounding it to the earth, you're grounding to that connection that God has created. And we've been insulating ourselves from it. So the sheets help. And they have helped me get a tremendously better night's sleep.
Huh. So what are they putting in the sheet that causes the grounding? I mean, you're not rolling around in soil.
So it's silver thread.
Oh.
And then it plugs into the ground of your electrical outlet.
Oh.
Which is grounded into the earth.
You're getting the conductivity of the earth into your body.
Correct. The studies have shown that you only need 10 minutes to improve your blood circulation. My joints feel so much better every morning when I wake up. I sleep so much better.
Wow.
You can get a mat to sit at your desk that plugs into the ground, that little round hole of the outlet.
Yeah.
And you can sit at your desk and improve the circulation throughout your body. So if you have high blood pressure, that's going to help.
Really?
It has helped me so far. I don't know about how it helps with your immune system.
Well, I think that what you're talking about might be something worth looking into. I'm going to keep my shoes on and not walk through the oil slick. But,
I agree with that.
Saw the statement and wow. So make you think. It's Kankel, Fritz, and Friends with you on Family Life Radio. Sally's here. Misty's here. This is the statement. Jesus spent his whole life engaging the people most of us have spent our whole lives trying to avoid.
Ooh.
Oof.
Yeah.
That makes me take a step back.
I know.
Wow.
Okay. Me too, Sally. It was kind of like, okay, I guess I'm going to take a little stock in who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on here? Then I started thinking about Jesus. What was Jesus like in a crowd? I would think that if you didn't have a handler, so to speak, he'd be there all day, because how could he turn anybody down?
Yeah.
Anybody that would want to talk to him? How did he get out of there?
Well, I immediately think of the woman with the blood and
issue of blood.
That crowd. Yeah. So many people around him, and yet he stopped for her.
Right.
So, what you're saying, it's just like people pressing in all around him. And yet he would stop for a woman who needed him.
Mm. Well, one thing we know about Jesus, he was truly led by the Spirit, which means he's following God's direction on to talk to this person or not talk to that person. But am I avoiding people Jesus would be hanging out with?
Oh, my goodness.
And let's face it, that's anybody we don't like, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
As well as maybe people you see on the street.
Things that make you uncomfortable. How often, just from sheer discomfort, do I avert my gaze?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of pressing into that and maybe seeing what I could do to help.
Yeah, and I think the antidote is this. You're like, okay, well, how can I get there? Or how can I think it's spending more time with him.
Yes.
The more time you're hanging out with Jesus, the more you become like him.
And the intentionality of saying, Lord, open my eyes.
Yeah.
Who am I avoiding that I should not be avoiding?
That's a good prayer, Sally. You're right.
That's scary prayer.
Well, yeah. Who do you... I think it's just starting your day with, who do you want me to talk to today? Mm-hmm. No matter who it is.
Yes.
I mean, we just talked with a nurse who spends a lot of time with homeless people and wow, how selfless.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, something to think about. Who are we hanging out with and why? Because I think we all want to be more like him, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was today years old when I found out, fill in the blank. You've seen this, this meme all across the internet. So this is one that I'm looking at and I don't understand it. Am I only the one who thought 30% chance of rain meant it's a 30% chance it's gonna rain?
Whoa.
Isn't that what it means? Yeah.
I always thought that. And I saw online recently, because a bunch of people got into an argument about this. It became a thing. And some meteorologists were weighing in and saying that this is accurate, that it's not a 30% chance it's going to rain in the sense that we think it is, but it is a 30% chance part of the air, like whatever area will actually get rainfall.
What?
Yeah. I don't know if that's accurate, though.
So you're saying like 20 miles away from me, it might rain.
Yep. They're...
But not where I am.
Yeah. But again, I have no idea. I don't know, because that seems confusing to me. We need a...
Okay, if you're a meteorologist, if you have any expertise in this area, is this true? Okay.
Explain it to us.
Yeah.
In Arizona, 30% chance of rain is just wishful thinking.
Right?
So. Yeah, if you didn't know, the Family Life Radio Morning Show is based out in Tucson, Arizona. So, do you have one of your I was today years old when I found out? 888-888-9976. And then help us out with this rain thing.
Yeah, just a few years ago, I was having a conversation with somebody, and I don't know, I said something like, it's all good in my hood, and I went, hold on. I think hood might be short for neighborhood. And my friend looked at me and said, did you actually not know that? And I said, no, I didn't. Like, it was a mind-blown moment. It never dawned on me that that's all it was a shortened version of the word neighborhood. I don't know why.
You're adorable.
Family Life Radio.
I was today years old when I found out, fill in the blank. It's Kankel Fritz and Friends with you on Family Life Radio. Misty just found out that hood was short for neighborhood.
Okay. Call me out like that? Yeah, so, I did.
It's fun.
Also just found out dis is short for disrespect. I'm learning so much.
Stop it.
I don't know why it never occurred to me these were just shortened words.
Okay. Misty, you're the one who educates me so often.
Well,
so.
In this area, I have the dumb. I don't know.
Well, Ron is on the phone. He's going to educate us this morning. What do you got, Ron?
I was 35 years old when I realized the ghost is clear was really the coast is clear.
Oh, you thought they were saying the ghost is clear?
That's so funny.
I like it.
And you're like, well, naturally.
They're generally pretty transparent.
Yeah.
And I guess the coast is clear had some sort of maritime connotation, I assume. It would
with
the sea? The coast is clear?
Oh.
The coast is clear.
Yeah.
Oh! I never thought of that. I never questioned it.
I didn't either. I just said it.
Wow. Yeah. And I've got great news. The ghost is too. Time for the good news of the day. Bob is with us from Montrose, Michigan.
I want to say how glad I am that you guys are on the air. I listen to you whenever I can, and you always make my day.
Oh.
It's just fantastic.
Well, thank you. All glory to God. Well, give us the good news, Bob.
I was supposed to sing at church on a Sunday. Along about Wednesday, I got a cold that just locked my sinuses right up. I couldn't breathe hardly, and there was no way I was going to sing. So Saturday night, I called Pastor, and I said, hey, you may have to step in and sing for me on Sunday, because there's no way I can do it right now. And he said, okay. He says, I'll look at you. If you nod your head yes, you come up and sing. And if you shake your head no, then I'll just go ahead and grab my guitar and sing. Well, that morning before church, I prayed, you know, God, if there's somebody that needs to hear this song, just take this sinus problem away long enough for me to sing it, and then I don't care if you put it back on me. And I kid you not, about a minute before I was supposed to sing, my sinuses just opened right up.
Wow.
To the point where it was like I didn't have a cold at all. I went up and I sang the song, and I came back and I sat down, and within about 30 seconds, my sinuses were locked right up again.
Oh, boy.
You know, you get what you pray for if you pray for the right things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder what would have happened, he said, instead of, I don't care whether you give it back to me or not.
I know. And Lord, you can keep it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's for sure. And here's the kicker to it. A few months later, I had the same thing happen as far as the cold.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at the congregation. I said, hey, last time I was up here, this happened. And let's hope that God sees fit to do it again so I can sing this song. I no sooner got the words out of my mouth than I could breathe.
Wow.
And when I got done, within a few minutes, I couldn't breathe again.
I think I have the moral of the story.
Okay.
I guess you're just supposed to praise God 24/7.
There you go.
That may very well be.
Thought for you if you deal with anxiety. It's Kankel, Fritz, and Friends.
It is National Anxiety Month, just calling awareness to anxiety, which I think that, especially since 2020, more of us than ever like understand what anxiety is. And I ran across this article that was talking about how we treat anxiety like a friend. We don't necessarily think or talk about it that way, but the way that we live, here we are, we're clutching it to our chests like our favorite stuffed animal. We carry it everywhere we go. We don't want to let it go. And it pointed out that when we befriend this anxiety, so to speak, we are actually discounting the promises of God and the power of God. Like, we're completely discarding that in favor of worrying over things that, let's face it, are completely beyond our control to begin with. Because anxiety is rooted in control. Like, you can't control this or that. But, I mean, what can you control in this world? Nothing.
True.
And so it was, you know, just talking about, like, looking that as an obstacle to your faith in a lot of ways.
And Misty, you deal with anxiety.
I do.
And when you read that, and it can sound kind of maybe cold-hearted.
Yeah.
But I think there's some truth to what's going on there.
I think it is one of those hard truths we don't like to look at.
Right.
I think anxiety has become such a part of everyday life in 2024 that we don't want to think about the spiritual implications, but it's actually correct. You know, the more I thought about it, it's like, yeah, when I worry, I'm saying to God, I don't think you can take care of this for me. And that's not what I ever want to say to God. And I don't want to ever, you know, when we try to do things by our own power is when we get in trouble. And that's what a good portion, all of anxiety is. We're trying to get it done ourselves. We're worrying about things that we want to control when it is completely outside of our grasp. And of course, it brought up Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God and know that He has it.
Well, I love the next verse, and the peace that transcends all understanding. In other words, it doesn't make any sense that you've got peace, but God's given it to you.
You know, I just put in the search for worry in the Bible Gateway, and pages pop up of God reminding us that He's got this. So, you know, I guess it's something that's common to man when, exactly as you're saying, Misty, when we separate ourselves from the truth of God's word, we start wandering off like a satellite, you know, and not attached any longer. And so... wow, He knew it. He told us over and over again.
I'm reminded of something. I'm sorry. Dr. Randy said.
Oh.
And that is, when you look in the rearview mirror, you kind of tend to go into depression. It's like what happened in the past. You can kind of get sad. If you look too far into the future, you get anxiety because it goes back to control. Uh-huh. I can't control the future.
I also saw something that I never thought of, and it's like anxiety is really worrying over things that haven't even happened yet.
Exactly.
It may not be a problem to begin with, and your mind is creating one.
Yeah. I'd love to get your take on this.
Get from this point in time, whether looking forward or looking back.
Yes.
The higher your anxiety.
Exactly. Right.
Love it.
Maybe you, it speaks to you. 888-888-9976. You can text us at 58326. Henkel, Fritz, and friends with you. Sharing your faith. That's not easy for a lot of us, is it?
Mm-mm.
Well, we have, this is really cool. The book is called The Sacredness of Secular Work. 4 ways that job matters for eternity. Jordan Rayner is with us, and he wrote a book about being a follower of Christ at work. And just that misnomer of the term secular, meaning, he said this, wherever you go, God's with you, right? And the word secular means without God. So is that really an accurate word? But this is what he had to say about sharing your faith at work.
I'm convinced that the number one thing blocking Christians from seeing the sacredness of their seemingly secular work is that for the first time ever in church history, in the last 200 years, we have begun treating the Great Commission to make disciples as the singular mission of the Christian life. And listen, lest I be labeled a heretic, let me say this as clearly as I can. The Great Commission is indeed great. It is a non-optional command for every single follower of Jesus, but it's not the only thing God cares about. And it's hugely problematic to treat the Great Commission as the only commission for a bunch of reasons. If the Great Commission is the only thing Jesus wanted us to do, then most of us are wasting the vast majority of our time, right? Because how much time does the average marketer or barista or entrepreneur spend on a monthly basis sharing the Romans Road with a coworker? 15 minutes? An hour? Like, let's be crazy generous and say they spend 3 hours explicitly sharing the gospel. That means 1% of your time matters for eternity. I don't know about you, that's deeply depressing, but more importantly, it is deeply unbiblical. Psalm 37:23 says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly and delights in every detail of their lives." Not just when you're sharing the gospel with a coworker, not just when you're writing a check to fund the work that others do of sharing the gospel. He delights in every Zoom meeting you lead, every diaper you change, and every garden you plant in a God-honoring way. All of that is an ingredient to the eternal pleasure of God.
So everything you do for Jesus at work matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But it's interesting that more people came to Christ through work than some crusade. Mm.
That's extremely interesting.
I know.
Yeah, I love that.
Encouraging.
Yeah. Huh? Who you are, how you treat those around you is really important. You want to chime in about this? We'd love to get your take. 888-888-9976. You can text us at 58326. Maybe you can tell us how you shared your faith at work. Maybe you're going through your day and someone pops into your mind out of nowhere. And what do you do with it? You pray for them? What do you do?
Oh, goodness. Well, in this case, I shrugged it off and I shouldn't have. My Facebook memories reminded me that this happened back in 2017, I was actually in the hospital recovering from a surgery, and I remember waking up thinking about a friend that I hadn't talked to in a long time. Like, aside from the occasional Facebook comment here and there, we hadn't talked in a long time. And I was like, maybe I should pick up the phone and call him. And then my mind is immediately like, well, I mean, that's going to be weird. Like, you haven't talked in a while, out of the blue. He's probably not going to like that. And I thought, maybe I should text. No, he's going to think this is weird. So I ignored it. And that friend continued to stay on my mind for like a solid day. When I woke up, he was just there. And the very next day when I woke up, I heard my phone go off and I saw a text from a mutual friend of ours and said, "Did you hear what happened?" And the person that had been on my mind all the day before had taken his own life.
Oh, Misty.
Oh. Wow.
I didn't even know he was struggling with depression. If you'd asked me, like, I probably would have said no, because he always seemed so happy-go-lucky, which is not a great indicator, because people would say that about me often, I think. But it really, I was like, why did I not take action? And you know, looking back, God was clearly prompting me. I don't know if I could have done anything to stop that from happening, but I'm always going to wonder if I could have. And I've tried not to live in the negative space of that, because that can drag you down real quick. Like, man, could I have stopped this in any way? But I use it as this reminder, when somebody jumps to mind, especially out of nowhere, and they just don't go, there's a reason. I need to reach out. At the very least, I need to pray. And I did, like, I did stop and pray for him. I remember doing that, but I just, you know, action needs to be taken sometimes. And all of these doubts that I had in my mind and all of this awkward stuff that could have gone on is what prevented me. When, man, I should have pushed past it and reached out. And I regret that. But going forward, I hope I pay attention to those God nudges.
Yeah. You're encouraging me right now. There's somebody who contacted me. I didn't have time to talk, and I have not returned that call yet. I'm going to do it today. Christy, thank you.
Wow. I think, pray. And I don't think you should be living in the guilt of that, but it's a great reminder. Mm-hmm. Just give it to him. But the other thing that hit my mind, guys,
what?
I'm so busy. I'm sometimes so into my phone or whatever I'm watching on TV. Have I allowed God to even talk to me?
And I think the only reason that I maybe, that's a good point, even paid attention or realized that was happening is because I was just in a situation where I didn't have anything to do but lay in that bed.
Yeah, you couldn't do anything else.
On an average day, I don't know if it would have even pushed past the chaos of everything going on around me.
Yeah. So maybe take some time today and that whole be still and know that I'm God. I think it's good for us all.
Yeah.
Experience Hope. Family Life Radio.
Do you have any joy to report?
I've got joy down in my soul. I'm going to let this feeling take control. Joy.
Yeah, what's bringing you joy? Give us a call right now at 888-888-9976. Jordan is with us from Albuquerque. Tell us what's going on.
So it's a little weird. My wife, her stepdad, is in critical care in the ICU. He's on full life support.
Oh, wow.
They live out in Texas, and she's on a plane on her way to go and be with her mom and her stepdad. And I'm just filled with joy that she took this as a call of duty to get out there and just really speak the love of Jesus into their lives at this really critical moment, because they're not believers.
Oh,
wow.
It's amazing. We got the news yesterday, and she got up and she was on a plane at 8 o'clock this morning.
Dedication and love right there.
Yeah.
And I'm just so joyful that I have a wife that's willing to just follow God's direction like that.
Yeah. And what a blessing that she has the ability, finances, and time to do it.
Mm-hmm. And a husband who supports her.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, everything fell perfectly into place.
Well, we just pray for, obviously, healing, but that they come to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Tough times, especially facing death, can bring you to your knees and make you open to Jesus. So we just pray that happens.
Yes, I'm really praying for that. And just, I said, weirdly joyful, but this is a good pivotal point.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
We take weird joy reports every day. Happy to have them.
Well, you know what this is? It's a joy report of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, perspective.
You know what? Follow up with us.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let us know how it turns out.
Would really like to know what happens, what God does.
Yeah.
I will.
So maybe you have a joy report of perspective. Not everything's great, but God's given you joy despite that. Hey, give us a call right now at 888-888-9976. Maybe you've been there at your kid's sporting event or somewhere where there's a lot of people hanging out and there's a lot of scrolling going on the phone. It's Kankel Fritz and Friends with you on Family Life Radio. I'm guilty of it. So I'm pointing the finger right at me. But Saw this thing about social media detox and the benefits. You ready for this? Reduces anxiety. You actually get better sleep.
Oh, I need
You're
that.
More productive. You actually form stronger connections. And you reduce FOMO, which I would think fear of missing out is what you would feel if you weren't on social media. What am I missing out on? What am I doing? I got to get there fast.
Maybe the farther you remove yourself from it, that just starts to dissipate.
Right.
Because that feeds your FOMO. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that my wife has done is deleted the apps on her phone, instead gone to the web version.
That gives me heart palpitations. What?
You literally were like, oh.
My word.
Misty grabbed her chest.
I did.
Oh my.
I clutched my pearls.
But I just wonder how healthy it is for us. I think for me personally, I'm just going to be real with you. I have a hard time being on certain social media. Because my brain automatically goes to comparison and it says, you're not as successful as they are. Your life isn't as interesting as they are. And then why aren't you posting anything and showing that you're out there, you're doing great. And so it's like this thing. And so I'll lurk on there every once in a while, but I don't spend as much time as I used to.
Yeah, I always feel kind of let down whenever I finally do shut down the app, because I'm like, well, now how much of all of that mattered at all? And what did I miss?
Well, I've also wondered this, Sally. Is our brain meant to contain all this information about other people? Because before social media, it wasn't unless you had a phone call with somebody.
Yeah.
Or unless you... Right. But now you've got sometimes the weight of the world, because now you're hearing all their problems or everything that's going on. And I wonder if it's too much for us. I don't know.
I've learned about things I didn't even know I should be concerned
you're
about.
You're right.
So now I am.
Yeah. And now you know what someone had for dinner, and who cares?
Right. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you want to illustrate the difference between Kank and me, if you were to go to his Facebook feed, all of the stuff that shows up is me tagging
him. It's true. I sure hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you want to learn more about The Morning Show, you can go to myflr.org.
Thanks for listening to the Kinkle Fritz and Friends podcast, heard on Family Life Radio. We would appreciate it so much if you could rate, review, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. You can also find more exclusive content at myflr.org and FLR Mornings on both Facebook and Instagram. And if you support Family Life Radio, thank you.